Good morning, and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for May 6th, 2012. Live Dharma Sunday is sponsored by the Bright Dawn Center of Oneness Buddhism. You can visit our website at brightdawn.org. I'm your host today, Reverend Koyo Kubose. I'm glad you joined us from cyberspace telephone land. Well, yesterday, just a little current news, we had a nice visit from Reverend Bob Oshta, who's with the Buddhist Churches of America, the Sacramento Buddhist Church. He's been there a long time now, and I first got together with Reverend Bob when we were in Japan together in the early 70s. And he's originally from San Francisco. And he was part of a group of maybe half a dozen ministerial students there in Kyoto, Japan. I was there independently. I went with my wife, Adrienne, and my two sons, Cannon and Tate, who were like 3 and 1. Tate was still in diapers at that time. We rented a house in Kyoto, Japan. And I met Reverend Bob when he wasn't Reverend then. And this group of about, as I said, half a dozen ministerial students, they were staying in a dormitory called Wakoryo, which was the dormitory for the Nishihonganji Jodo Shinshu branch in Kyoto, Japan. And they invited me every Saturday night. We played cards there, and at that time we watched Soul Train on TV. These were some very formative years. This was back in 1974. And I would go with this group to when they went to hear some lectures at the International Center when visiting Buddhist teachers, gave special lectures, and we played basketball together in a, you know, basketball was not a very widespread sport in Japan, but there was a particular church that had a gym, and through special arrangements, we would go there and we would play basketball together. And this was, so he visited yesterday for the first time, came to Course Gold, and we had such a nice visit together. I gave him a little tour of the property. And showed him my vegetable garden and loaded him up with some vegetables for his trip back, driving back to Sacramento. He had come into Fowler to speak Friday night, and then he came for lunch at our place on Saturday. Had some somen noodles for lunch. Over the years, you know, we've kept in touch, and he's been a very terrific speaker of Dharma talks. He has such a great sense of humor and charismatic personality. The collegial relationship is a very special thing. And I think it's special in all professions or, you know, careers, but especially in ministerial ways, your colleagues are the ones that really, you're in the same boat together, you know? And maybe it's the same as ball players or carpenters or stockbrokers or whatever, but to share the same, you know, experience, kinds of experiences and everything really is one of the most special things. And that reminds me, I know, like, all football players or, you know, professional football players or basketball players, whenever they say what they miss about their profession, you know, is that fellowship with their fellow teammates. That is really a special, special thing. And this is why I think the Sangha is one of the three treasures in Buddhism. Fellow travelers on the Buddhist path. It's really indeed one of the treasures. As I said, I loaded down Reverend Bob with some vegetables from my vegetable garden. And boy, right now, with the weather turning warmer, the garden is really taking off. And it's such a joy to see all these growth happening. And so far, not very many critters have come to help themselves because, well, I did buy some Japanese eggplant, a six pack. Oh, this must have been several weeks ago. And I put them on a wooden picnic table I had down in the garden area. And I said, well, tomorrow I'm going to plant these into the ground. And when I came the next day, someone had gotten up on that table and chewed up all the leaves off of my eggplant. So I moved them and nurtured them. But other than that, the wild critters have not bothered my plant yet. Of course, most of the tomatoes or eggplants are not fruited yet. But a lot of the greenery for daikon, horseradish, and beets and things like this are flourishing as far as the greenery goes. Well, I know that here in California, spring comes earlier, but our guest today, way up from Massachusetts, it's probably the spring takes a little bit longer, and we're privileged to have as our guest today Toyo Katamori-sensei of Worcester, Massachusetts. He's a Bright Dawn lay minister of LM3 Group, and so we look forward to hearing his Dharma glimpse. Toyo-sensei.
Yes, hello. Hello from Massachusetts. Yes. I am here.
Okay, we welcome your Dharma glimpse.
Okay, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, you know, you were talking about spring, and as a matter of fact, I was out mowing my lawn, and the grass was going crazy. So right now in Massachusetts, at least in Worcester, Massachusetts, we're in full bloom. And I almost forgot that I had a Dharma glimpse to do because I was out being taken away by the spring of Massachusetts. My Dharma glimpse today is into the Dahama. And into the Dahama we shall journey like astronauts or a team of interdependent explorers that make their way through an abyss of unexplored contents with uncharted rivers and great divides of lands never traveled before. To me, and many new members of the Dahama, we find ourselves delving into this unknown abyss of Buddhism. We embark into the Dahama like so many have done before us. Those that pass through what we now embark on have gone on to many new paths within the Dahama, charting their explorations and publishing their discoveries. They are the Dahamanauts of Buddhism. like our famous astronauts of early and present space exploration, Dahomonauts, to have made discoveries and charted the unknown. They have shared a seat in American Buddhism history and published their research for our future references and studies. Many articles and publications from their Dahomonauts have entered the curriculums of scholastic Buddhists established around the world 360 degrees by way of longitude and latitude. I call Eastern Sung Sangha members Dahomonauts, and like astronauts, they have embarked on the exploration not into space but into the Dahama. This title is not just for Eastern Sung Sangha, but you too as well are Dahomonauts, and our exploration begins, some alone, but many together. It is a journey only you can chart. Your discoveries are your exemplifications that only you will write into your own personal Buddhist history, however they are anicca or impermanence, one of the three marks of existence, these being anicca, impermanence, dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, and anatta, non-selfhood. As well as anicca, there are also an interdependency in our discoveries as Dahomonauts. Our journey is an expedition of Buddhism that covers a vast span of territory. With that said, our nautical unit of length corresponding approximately to the Dahama is vast. I am told and encouraged to keep going, and that I will do, and that you as well will achieve. Nautical miles is a good old Navy term. Nautical miles was based on the circumference of the Earth at the equator. Since the Earth is 360 degrees of longitude around, and degrees are broken into 60 so-called minutes, that means there are 360 multiplied by 60 equals 21,600 minutes of longitude around the Earth. This was taken as the basis for the nautical mile. Thus, by definition, 1 minute of longitude at the equator is equal to 1 nautical mile. So the Earth is ideally, by definition, 21,600 nautical miles. And also 21,600 minutes of longitude in circumference at the equator. Well, enough of that technical stuff. My exploration into the Dahama is Buddhism 360 degrees longitude and latitude. Today, we will experience Buddhism that can be found on the circumference of this beautiful planet. We hope to in our gatherings over many Dahama nautical miles and share our discoveries experienced during our journeys into the Dahama. As we keep going, Dahomonauts will build many bridges across undiscovered rivers. Dahomonauts will cut new paths over great divides of land. Our Dahama nautical miles will add up, and for every new Dahama mile, we will want to share our discoveries with all. Dahomonauts will encourage others to follow. We will ask for companionship into the Dahama. Each and every Dahomonaut will travel their own way. Their Dahama nautical miles will be different. Each has a different experience, develops different opinions, compassions, compatriots, and convictions. The foundations of Buddhism will always stay the same and will guide us Dahomonauts into the Dahama of American Buddhism. Travel light and keep an open mind to what you may find. And that is my Dahama glimpse. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I really enjoy our Bright Dawn lay ministers and their Dharma glimpses and their creativity and with their phrases. And as you know, part of our lay program, when they do their reports, they have certain phrases, whether it's caffeine phrases or cold phrases. And today's Dharma Glimpse, we have Dharmanauts, you know, instead of astronauts. And indeed, that's about a journey. We go on a spiritual path. We're traveling into a into the unknown, making a unique journey, everybody. And Dharma nautical miles. I couldn't help thinking at all longitudes and latitudes, at all of them, we are filled with gratitude. And so another kind of play on words, I suppose, but and when we talk about keep going, you know, outer space, infinite, you just keep going. And inner space, I think, is the same way. And even in physics, they keep going. They think they find the smallest particle, and they can keep going and find even smaller ones. It seems like everything is infinite, you know? Outer space, inner space, and within ourselves, the unique journey. And it has been said that since the universe is infinite, all and each and every point or individual is the center of the universe. You know, when it's infinite, any point is the center, okay, of an infinite circle. These kinds of things, analogies or parallels, I think can be nice teaching tools. When we travel, the topic of traveling, going, you know, walking the path, it is the journey, isn't it? It's sort of a cliche, but, you know, it's a journey, not the destination. Life is a journey, okay? But that is such a valuable perspective. The way of oneness, when we say oneness, we mean the oneness of means and end, or journey and destination. You know? Sometimes we say, hey, you want to get to the top of a mountain, and that's the ultimate, getting to the top of the mountain. But it's that journey on the side of the mountain that that's really where it's at. And any successful person in a career or a businessman, when they look back on their life, they say, hey, it was not the goal itself, whether it was, you know, making a lot of money or, you know, being so successful. It was the journey, the doing. And what this means is, you know, means equals end. Even though we have a goal or a plan or, you know, once we go into action towards it, the activity itself takes over in terms of motivation. We find that satisfaction right now, not achieving a future goal. And this is why we have to, in a sense, unpack our bags. You see, otherwise, it's sort of like when you go on vacation and you stop at a motel along the way, you know, and you say, oh, here's my destination way over there. But getting there, but if you stay in a motel, you camp here, stop here, you visit, sometimes we don't unpack our bags. So we're just going to be here a little while. And in life, sometimes it's easy. As we're growing up, we say something like, when you're real young, you say, oh, man, when I start to go to school, because you see your older brothers or sisters going to school, and you say, oh, that's going to school. That's a big thing. I can't wait till I go to school. That's when I'm going to really meet a lot of kids and play and have fun. And then when you start to go to school, becomes old hat, and you say, oh, man, in school I have to do what the teacher says and so forth. When I finish public school, elementary school and high school and so forth, then when I go to college, that's going to be the big thing. I'm going to be, you know, an adult. I'm going to take the courses I want. I'm going to study the subjects and stuff, and I'm going to be away from home. Man, college, right now I'm just like a prisoner. Have to do exactly, take the same curriculum. You know, you don't unpack your bags. You don't fully appreciate the process of what's going on. Because you're always looking forward to the next phase or stage in your life. And the same thing when you get into college. After a while, you start thinking, man, when I get out in the work world, that's when I'm going to start earning money and my life is really going to begin. And, of course, we know what happens. Start working and you start looking forward to your vacation. Oh, man, you know, I'll be free from office politics and all the other stuff and this and that, this and that. I'm going to be able to pursue travel or have, you know, great fun with the family and so forth on vacations, and you look forward to your vacations. And, of course, retirement. That's when I'm really going to live. I'll pursue my favorite hobbies, and I'll be free. Okay. We never unpack our bags at all these stages. What a shame. And furthermore, as was mentioned in a Dharma glimpse, hey, you gotta travel light. This means, part of it means being able to be in the present with an open mind. And sometimes we're going up that mountain and we feel, and our mind says, our over analytical prepared mind says, oh, I need this equipment. Oh, I need this. I need this. Or this will come in handy. Or what if this were to happen or an emergency? I need this equipment. And we got a huge backpack of over 100 pounds on our back, and we're trudging up this mountain. Oh, okay. We could travel light. Our confidence in ourselves to handle things without relying on being burdened with over knowledge. If you think that in order to successfully walk the Buddhist path, your spiritual growth, you need to know a lot, pack all the theories, models, all the history, teachings, and everything into your spiritual backpack, you'll be so weighed down, you know. No, you don't need all that. You need an empty mind. Certain kind of empty mind, beginner's mind. Sincerity and a sense of humor. Hey, I always used to tell my students, the only two things you need to know in life, always be sincere and don't forget to laugh. Those will carry you far. Those are the two things you really need as you journey. Imagination is more important than knowledge. You don't need a whole big backpack of knowledge. Some people don't even never take the journey because they're too busy feeling that they need to get all the equipment. And then they never take their journey. Einstein said, hey, imagination is more important than knowledge. I really love that saying. Now, of course, he's coming from a different place. We're not saying that you don't need knowledge, okay? But when you've got a certain basic foundation, you don't need to keep on making a career of knowing about Buddhism. You know, that's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is based on experience, doing, getting out there. You know, sure, the harbor is a safe place, but that's not what the ships are built for, baby. For sailing, man, not for staying in the harbor. So when Einstein says, hey, imagination is more important than knowledge, anybody could get that knowledge. But imagination, that means creativity. That means traveling into the unknown. Huh? And making discoveries. That is a precious thing. Okay? Well, I want you to, all of us, to keep going. To travel light, to unpack our bags, and think about, you know, when we think about destinations, goals, you know, when we're first born, well, we have our own mortality. So in a way, we could say, well, the goal of life is death, in a sense. That's where we're going to end up. This is a little bit of a different perspective on traveling and journeying. Sometimes it is said, what is the cause of death? When you have to fill out a form, someone passed away, and what is the cause of death? Some ministers said, would write down their birth. That's the cause of death. And I love a poem that I heard that from a Vietnamese nun. She said, death is home. Life is the vacation. That really made me sit up. You know? What a different kind of attitude if we said, hey, death is home. You know, when you're traveling, you know, home is a special place. It's where you're really at home. Wow, to put death into that kind of a thing, perspective, you know. Wow. I remember a movie called, I think the name of the movie was Broken Trail with Robert Duvall. He was driving a herd of horses across the land, picked up some a group of five young Chinese ladies who were abducted from San Francisco by a brothel, and he rescued them, and he was traveling. And along the way, sometimes, you know, life is rough in those pioneer days, and someone would die on the trail, and they just bury them there, and then they have a little service. And Robert Duvall said, you know, from the sweet grass to the packing house, from birth to death, we travel between the eternities. You know, that kind of a perspective. Yeah. We came from the eternity. We go into the eternity. We might call it a world of oneness. It gives us pause when we see the oneness, the coming complete circle, in a wide perspective, spiritual perspective, if you will. This is real journeying and traveling. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you do keep going and have a very beautiful traveling trip journey. Thank you. Mm-hmm.